We never cease to amuse ourselves here, do we?
Gerard at Large time is 6:35, and DJ Dave, a professional DJ, by the way, has given us a little Bad Boys music as we are joined by a demo. Sorry, the French boy in me wanted to say a demo, which is what I've been saying, not, you know, kind of like Nemo.
It's a demo.
It's a demo, yes.
A demo Freeman, the founder of copblock.org, the center of much controversy here over what we've dubbed the mess at West High School, is in studio today to talk to us not only about that incident, but how it led to him being charged with 3 felony counts of wiretapping. So, Demo, thank you for reaching out to us here on GerardAtLarge.com.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to have me in.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Now, you are associated, if I'm not mistaken, with what we know here in the state of New Hampshire as the Free State Movement.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Free State Project.
And how was it that you came to come here to New Hampshire, and where are you from originally? Okay, thanks. All right, so we are with Demo Freeman. Founder of copblock.org. Adamo, why don't you quickly recap what apparently our listeners did not hear when Skype killed us?
No problem. Basically, I said, you know, I'm 29 years old. I've moved here from Wisconsin as part of the Free State Project, which is an idea to get 20,000 liberty-minded folks to live in one area to affect change. Again, these are people who want to allow you the freedom, unlike the government, to run your life, you know, whether that's the education of your children, how much money is in your wallet, et cetera, et cetera. Through that process, again, I relocated here. In between that time of doing my first project, which was motorhomediaries.com, to copblock.org, relocated, started copblock.org, which again was a website where I intended to share my ideas and my story of police interactions. It quickly morphed into a group blog where other folks joined, and then to a decentralized organization that is basically, you know, we all agree that there is a policing issue today and it needs to be discussed, and we bring that to our forum at copblock.org.
Now, what do you believe the policing issue is? I mean, what is the right and proper role of a police officer?
Well, me personally, I believe that without a victim, there is no crime. So, you know, the state itself, an entity, cannot be claiming it was harmed. So, without a victim, there's no crime. There is a need for protection, the service of protection. But I feel what we have today is more of a protection of the state and a revenue generation for the state, that police spend a fraction of their time actually investigating crimes where there is a victim.
Well, let's just say I agree with you on that point for the sake of the discussion. If that's true, then why are the police the target of your efforts, and why not the legislatures that pass the laws?
That's a great question. We get it all the time. Some people do feel that the most effective way to do change is to go into the political spectrum and to have them order police to stop doing things, which essentially is what a law is. I believe that it is
the fact of the matter is that the police really don't have discretion. I mean, you can argue on a practical level, but if there's a law, it's not up to the police chief or the police departments to decide what laws to enforce and what laws not to enforce.
Well, that's exactly what they tell you, but they do have discretion. They use it all the time. If you've ever gotten a warning for a speeding ticket or you were jaywalking in front of them, whatever it is, they have discretion. They're allowed to use it. And you can even look further where they've allowed their buddies. Yeah, those perfect examples when they allow other officers off and the discretion is used quite frequently. So they do have it, which is a problem as well. But back to the question, the proper role, I feel without a victim, there is no crime, and that police would be better off allocating their times towards people who had actually committed a crime against somebody.
Okay. But once again, why target the police instead of the legislatures that have passed the laws? Why not work to repeal the laws so that the police aren't in a position where they have to choose? Because you say if there is no victim, there is no crime. But I think that gets down to a subjective definition of victim, doesn't it?
Sure. All too often, I mean, we've seen over the course of time, there have been bad laws on the books that have taken years or thousands, millions of dollars to repeal, and that system is very slow. In my opinion, it's not one that works for the people. I choose to focus on police officers because that's where the rubber meets the road, essentially. It doesn't matter to me what people in Concord are writing on pieces of paper. If there's nobody to enforce those words on paper, then it doesn't matter to me. They might as well just be an author, you know, to a book. So I choose to focus on the man who's, you know, Bastiat said, it's my gripe isn't with the IRS laws, it's with the IRS agent who comes to enforce them. So it's the man at my front door that's directly harming my life that I have an issue with, not the man who told him to go do it.
interesting because we are a society of laws. You would agree with that?
I would agree that a society needs some sort of structure. How that structure is given to one is up for debate.
Well, we do have a structure. And the structure right now is you elect people who in the city level pass ordinances, the state level passes laws, the congressional, the federal level, they pass laws. And so, listen, anybody who knows me knows that I am no fan of so-called big government, and I think there's a whole lot of government we could do without. But I'm not ready to walk into the superintendent of school's office and harass them because they're enforcing No Child Left Behind.
Well, harass is a convenient term. I'm talking about transparency and accountability, and I think a lot of people would feel that government needs to do that absolutely, mm-hmm. regardless. If you would break down some of these laws and look at their real meanings, I think most folks would find that they aren't really here to protect us as they are purported to. They're either to generate revenue or protect the state. I mean, look at my recent case. An example mm-hmm. is I've highlighted some abuses of the police around here, and now I've become a target. Who is the Manchester police protecting me from? You know, by criminalizing me, who are they keeping the community safe from? Me? I never touched a 17-year-old kid and slammed his face on a desk. I didn't beat up a guy outside of a bar. Mm-hmm. I used chalk on a building and then put a video on a website, you know, and I'm the one that's going to go to prison for 20 years.
No, and I do want to get to that because basically you've been charged with 3 counts of felony wiretapping for video and audio taping the phone calls you made to the police department and to the school principal, correct?
All public officials for transparency with the public officials, yes.
Right, all public officials, no doubt about that. But the law in the state of New Hampshire makes taping any official, any person, really, any person.
Okay, but to me,
The law in the state of New Hampshire, I think it's important that we address this because I'm going to get around to the fundamental point. The law in the state of New Hampshire criminalizes the unknown taping of any individual in any conversation, consider it wiretapping for lack of a better term, without consent. So if, in fact, that's the law, then what do you have to gain by flouting the law? Why not say we are taping the recording at the beginning of your conversation so that they know they're being taped?
Well, here, I think if we look at the wiretapping law and look at its origins, originally, yes, it was meant for private citizen to private citizen to eliminate you being recorded without knowing over telephones.
Also, by the way, you're being recording by government.
Exactly. In the 50s, 60s, it was clarified because the government was going around wiretapping organized crime syndicates, and a lot of those guys got off because they were doing it illegally. So then the law was defined. So here in both examples, private citizen to private citizen was the origin, modified due to criminal activity of organized crime, where the government was actually the one violating the rights of an individual, even though they were organized crime syndicates. A lot of people got off because of that. So with my example, I mean, we're talking about public officials, and a public officials, all of this was meant, my first point is that all of them were meant to ensure your right to privacy. That you maintain this expectation of privacy. Any public official loses their expectation of privacy the minute they decide to work for the better good and be paid for by the community. So none of these individuals have any expectation of privacy. Everything they do or say, the police officer I called, the principal and her secretary, every one of their jobs is public information. There isn't a form, a statement, or anything that I couldn't get through a Freedom of Information Act or a request that they can deny. So if their whole job is on the record, then how can I wiretap them? How can you wiretap an individual who has no expectation of privacy?
Draw at Large time is 6:49. We are interviewing Ademo Freeman, the founder of CopBlock.org, who has been charged with 3 felony counts of wiretapping for videotaping and audio taping conversations that you just heard about with local officials following what we have so affectionately called the mess at West High School. So I understand your point about transparency, and I understand your point, your desire to have those interactions be transparent. And I, for one, agree. You know, I think if someone wants to videotape an interaction with a police officer, great. I think that's frankly good for the police officer, just like it's good for the person doing it. I guess one of the questions I would have, given what you just said, though, again, it boils down to tactics. I'll be candid with you. While I agree with your sentiment, I think you've picked the wrong target.
that might be the case. I don't know. It should also be noted that though I didn't state to the individuals I was audio and video recording them, I did state to them that my name is Adamo Freeman from copblock.org, and I'm seeking comment off of Officer Murphy's actions yesterday in your cafeteria. So there was no mystery. Oh, yeah. I wasn't trying to deceive anybody that, like, oh, hi, I'm a concerned person, you know, and playing dumb. I mean, they knew what they were going to state with me was going to be on record.
Right. And perhaps one of the things that will come from this trial, if it proceeds that far, will be that discussion in court, and it will be up to a jury of your peers to determine whether or not.
But why does it even get that far? The city of Manchester, the folks that live here need to look at it. There's six individuals involved in this, one officer and two public officials at the school, then myself, Frank, who was actually assaulted by Officer Murphy, and Michael, who filmed it. Michael is facing other charges to an unrelated incident with another teenager. They fought over a girl. We've all probably been there. Frank is experiencing the expulsion process due to this experience, and I'm facing 20 years in prison for wiretapping. On the flip side of that coin, Officer Murphy never missed a day of work, was actually at that same exact school the next day. They didn't even take him out of the office and say, what's up? Hey, you're going to have to stay here for a while over at the main police station. Nothing. The principal coerced Michael into deleting footage. She wanted him to delete the footage that day. He tricked her and deleted pictures, but she's never been investigated for tampering with an investigation, deletion of evidence. Those are all very serious crimes as well that actually bear a victim, because Frank would have been a victim if that story didn't get out, and that, you know, he would have been prosecuted for such crimes. And then the secretary as well, another individual who's in the school coercing or encouraging the deletion of evidence. I mean, those are very serious things that public officials trying to sweep corruption under the rug, and no one wants to talk about it. Instead, they want to criminalize those of us who brought the story to light.
No, I understand what you're saying. We had Police Chief David Mara here, and we asked him. You know, I spoke to him. I said, does it make any sense that this officer remains in the building until at least until the investigation's concluded? His point of view, I think pretty succinctly stated, was, look, if every time a cop gets in, you know, has to deal with a situation at a school and we pull them out, then it just gives the kids in the building license to figure out how they can get someone they don't like or don't want thrown out of the building for whatever period of time.
Well, that sounds pretty lame to me, but I guess if that's his opinion, that's right. His opinion.
Do the police, in your mind, do they get let's take the incident that sparked this whole thing.
The chalking incident, June 4th, 2011.
Yes, I'm trying to think the. No, I'm talking about the West High School incident.
Oh, okay.
The West High School incident. But if you want to talk about the
incident. I mean, there's a little overlap. I'm just saying is I just recently, a couple weeks ago, completed a trial that's still being taken under consideration by Judge Lines. And it's basically a First Amendment thing. There was a protest of the Chris Milekovich beating outside of Strange Brew.
Yep.
Some folks used children's chalk on the sidewalk and the building, myself included. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing was railroaded. Eight of us went to trial over this. It's probably cost the city of Manchester hundreds of thousands of dollars for eight trials, pending appeals, because some of those are being appealed now as well. And that's what started my initial interactions with them. Then due to that, that's why I was in Manchester. That's why I had the ability to be approached by Frank and Mike to highlight the video, because we were trying to highlight that case and how much, you know, children's chalk. They said it damaged the building. I mean, there's no holes in the building. It didn't do anything. It was washed off by water, mm-hmm. You know, that they used a little too much pressure, but they could have just splashed it on there, used the fire department. But so, you know, that's what started it. That's why I was here. I mean, all this is a domino effect of the police not being held accountable for their actions. I mean, how long did it take for the report of Jonathan Duchesne and his three other colleagues to come clear? Almost a year, you know, and after a year, they said no wrongdoing. It wasn't their finest hour, but, you know, these guys are still on duty. Jonathan Duchesne actually handled evidence of the protest. You know, it sounds like a big conflict of interest to me. Like they knew why we were there. We sent them a press release and they didn't even take the guy off of coming to the scene of the protest. And then they let him handle evidence that was, you know, it's really crazy what's going on over there at the Manchester Police Department.
Well, and certainly there have been, I think, unresolved questions about that incident outside Strange Brew. But in the minute or so that we have left, you know, the police, the position of the police was the continued verbal assault of the student, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Frank,
warranted some sort of action.
Well, I think there's still freedom of speech in this country, and sticks and stones may break bones, but words never hurt anybody. And if the officer can't handle an F-bomb being dropped in his direction, then I don't think he should carry a gun and have the authority.
Does an officer have an interest, a proper interest in maintaining the environment so that what becomes one or two mouthy kids doesn't become a situation that is unmanageable at some point?
I think freedom of speech is the utmost importance. And if an officer can't handle a teenager who we all have been, and I'm sure we all were mouthy at one point in our lives, if he can't handle them being mouthy without the answer of slamming him onto a table, then he needs to be at some other position and not the police liaison officer.
Does freedom of speech extend everywhere in schools? Do principals, teachers, police officers, do they have no vested interest in maintaining order?
As long as the school is paid for by taxpayer dollars, then this government is based. I mean, the First Amendment of the Constitution is freedom of speech. That's the principle of this government. So if the school is a public service and an extension of government, then that same principle needs to be extended there.
Do you agree that
if we want to privatize schools and you want to limit speech, go for it.
Do you agree that freedom of speech does not give you the right to yell fire in a crowded movie theater?
That's private property. So, I mean, you don't have a right to cause
private property
is different than public property.
So a kid could stand up in a classroom and
you still have the right to yell fire all you want. You're held accountable for your actions.
So basically you're not allowing for any sort of rules or discipline or order to be imposed in a public.
People are responsible for their actions. If I would yell fire and people get hurt, I need to be held accountable for hurting.
So
people.
It's okay for kids or anybody in a government building to be willfully publicly disruptive to the conduct of business.
Depends. What's the meaning? I mean, if this is a taxing authority that's stealing somebody's house for no reason and someone's disruptive, I can understand that because they're being stolen from. And
kids have the ability to be disruptive in class without any consequence for their behavior?
Maybe kids wouldn't be disruptive in class if schools were privatized and they were actually given something they care about learning about instead of this uniformed color of schooling with a police officer in the hallway.
Damo Freeman, thank you for joining us this morning on Girard at Large. We are out of time, and hopefully, thank God, Skype held up for the rest of the interview. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.